Hello and welcome to the Relationship Matters podcast. From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters. Hello, I'm your host, Katie Churchman. And in part two of Ghost Roles, Faith Fuller is talking about time spirits. Time spirits are cultural ghosts, literally spirits of the time. Time spirits arise from potent experiences or beliefs which involve the larger societal field. Each region or country has its own time spirits, depending on its history. For example, the United States wrestles with the time spirit of 9/11, and Germany works with the time spirit of the Holocaust. In this episode, Faith talks about working with time spirits. In order to deal with a time spirit, we have to become aware of its impact on the relationship or team and design an alliance for dealing with it. Here's Faith to explain more. Faith, perhaps you kick us off then from last week. We were looking at ghosts, and now we're going to delve into the cultural ghosts that you call time spirits.
Well, you bet. So last week when we talked about ghosts were people or events that usually were personal in our lives. Somebody we knew that something happened with, or an event that happened in our lives that left a sort of a memory, a mark on us in some way. But time spirits are cultural ghosts. So we're talking about big ghosts here. So these are events or people that haunt an entire culture. Anybody who grows up within that culture is usually affected in some way by that time spirit. So we're constantly being impacted by the time spirits, and you could think of them as being a cultural ghost that haunts us, and literally it's a spirit of the time. And every country's got its own time spirits, but some are universal, such as isms, any kind of ism, racism, sexism, homophobia, ageism. These are all spirits of the time that are pretty much global, but may show up in different ways in different countries. So we're subject to time spirits because we're a product of our culture era and a product of our upbringing, and it's the waters we swim in. And I just want to acknowledge Arnie Mandel here. The term time spirit comes from him, but you know, we can always use a different term if time spirit doesn't feel comfortable for us. So let me pause. What do you think, Katie, when I say all that?
Wow. I mean, I'm just starting to think about all the time spirits that must be affecting me in my life. There must be countless numbers of time spirits then impacting us all the time.
Yes. Because given that you're British, Katie, you probably have the British time spirits innate, you know, sort of bred into you. And then you are subject to all the American time spirits since you're living here. So you get a double dose.
So given that they're that big, they feel like they're much harder to work with than the ghosts we were talking about last time. How do we go about working with and creating different kinds of relationships with these time spirits?
Sure. So we're going to go there. But just before we do, I think it would be useful just to spend a minute on what are some of the characteristics of time spirits. Whenever a person or a group sort of feels taken over by strong emotions around a cultural issue, that's probably a time spirit. So it could be a person who is flooded with intense emotion or a sense of the enormity of the impact of an issue on them and on others as well. So it could be an individual who is overwhelmed by a time spirit, and they may feel sort of flooded with grief or rage about a topic. It's a little bit like being triggered, but you're channeling a cultural entity rather than a sub-personality of your own. And sometimes they represent a form of collective trauma that's just underneath the surface, which suddenly surfaces from a triggering event. And another thing about them is they can be contagious. So if someone is dealing with a time spirit, their story about what happened to them can open the gates for others who have been in a similar situation to also come alive with memory for that event that happened to them as well. And so it becomes contagious. And then you'll have a group all intensely affected by a time spirit. And the other thing I just wanted to say is, boy, are they tough to step back from. Katie, when you think about these things, usually most of us as coaches are scared to death we're going to bump up against a time spirit. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, they feel very big and very scary and almost too big to handle in many ways.
Yes, we'll talk more in a minute just about, okay, so what do you do when that happens? But a couple of things will help us to know how to work with it. One is someone who's held by a time spirit, say of racism, or it could be homophobia or anything like that. For them, it will feel like a betrayal to let go of the issue. So it's as if there's this pressure from all the people who've suffered from that time spirit, like they're all lined up behind you. And the full millennium of racism, systemic racism over hundreds of years is, it's like that door opens and there's pressure coming from all of the people who may have experienced racism throughout the generations. It's like they're all standing right behind you, leaning on you. So to let go of it, it feels like you are betraying your people in some way. It's not just your issue. So if we're dealing with racism, as if every Black person for millennia and the whole history of racism is leaning into you, needing to be heard. And as long as you're carrying that time spirit, it's very hard to put down because you feel like you're representing something a lot bigger than yourself and you don't want to let those people down. Something is pressing on you to move through. So, yeah, what do you think?
Well, maybe we shouldn't be necessarily letting them down because it's almost like that reminder of history and making sure we don't continue to make the same mistakes, perhaps.
Yeah.
If we just let them go, we're never going to learn. So maybe there is a real purpose and point to them being active in our lives.
I think so too. I think they need to be honored. However, they are scary and inconvenient. They wreck your plan you had for working with your team or your group or your family because these are big forces moving in. And they may feel also unsolvable. I know that I don't care how good I am and other coaches are, we cannot solve millennia of racism, you know, in one client at a time right now. We can make efforts towards it, steps towards it. But this issue has been around a long time. The best we can do is move it forward on our watch the best that we can. And I also want to give you an example of how it can be difficult. I was at an Arnold Mandel World Workshop one time, and these are exhausting and edifying events where you sort of process over a week every large global conflict you can think of. You know, one day it's whites and blacks, and another day it's the Jews and the Germans, and then, you know, another day it's gays and straights, and so, you know, and there's a lot, they're all time spirits, so there's a lot of intensity, and you sort of stagger out of from these, but it stretches you and grows you to hold intensity, and so it's powerful, but difficult. And I was involved in one world work process that came up between Blacks and gays. And it was the stupidest and most painful situation because Blacks were lined up on one side and gay people up around the other. And those who were affiliating with those sides, and they were accusing each other of that they had suffered more than the other side. So there was this anger in the room of, you don't know how I have suffered on both sides, and to have two groups that have suffered these time spirits fighting each other was hideous. You know, it was hideous. And at some point, Arnie stepped in and said, this is a set of time spirits. We cannot resolve this in the large group format because of the pressure on both sides. He said he recommended that we break into small groups And we did that, actually. The first thing we did is we got a small group together of maybe four people, two from the gay side, two from the black side. And instantly, the energy shifted. People could go, you know, could see the point of view of the other. So they were able to empathize with, of course, you have suffered horribly. I can't believe that we're being faced up against each other, and I don't want to do that, and how can I support you? That time spirit was reduced once it came down to individuals again. Two individuals or four individuals who were talking to each other about their experience could allow for more tenderness and human exchange. One of the things is that time spirits being contagious in groups is that it's very hard if you have two mobs on one side holding different time spirits, it's very, very difficult to work with it. But if you break that up into small groups where people can become individuals and talk about their experience, it's easier to work with that energy.
Wow, that's fascinating, because it says a lot about what's been going on, I think, over the last 6 months, in terms of maybe we can't hold these at that level. And it also talks to the fact that this is kind of systems work at its sort of biggest form. You know, it's not just taking into account systems now, it's systems past and present and future. And that's quite a lot for a human being to hold.
Oh, yes. I love what you're saying. This is world work.
Yeah.
This is the use of ORSC or other tools to work with large group processes that are evolutionary. So you're right. You're right. It is the largest form of ORSC work that we can do. And we are equipped to do it. So don't give up hope. It's just that we all sort of go, oh my God, I hope I don't meet, you know, one of these. But if you are going to tap a sensitive issue, so for example, when I've been working issues of racism that have come up in groups, before I will work that with them, I will educate them about what a time spirit is until I get a sense that the room understands. Because I will say to them, look, if we're going to talk about racism, it's very likely we will invoke time spirits. Somebody will say something, it'll trigger, you know, something large in the room, and it'll feel charged and like we can't step back. And I cannot do that alone. I need everybody in here to pay attention, to be aware of whether they are beginning to experience a time spirit, to be willing to hold the container for this work so we don't just sort of blow out into time spirits. We need to honor them, but we also need to be responsible for ourselves and each other. Are you willing to stand there with me while we work this issue? And because it's not the coach's job to manage a time spirit, it's everybody's job to manage a time spirit.
So in that example you just gave, is the time spirit the third entity, or are we working with the relationship with the time spirit?
You're working with a relationship with a time spirit. So that you can think of a time spirit as a living entity. I've never thought of it as a third entity, because that's usually in a relationship. Third entity is usually within a relationship. A time spirit is a cultural ghost. So I think that's the best description of it. And you are working with that cultural ghost.
And the relationship that that team, that family, that individual has with that ghost.
Yes. You know, for example, often a personal experience opens the door to a time spirit. So if you think about the Arab Spring, which now seems like a long time ago, but that started because a vendor in a marketplace set himself on fire, burned himself to death. That set off the time spirit of all of the grief and pain and whatever that made that man take that action was shared in society, and that triggered a time spirit that swept through the Middle East. Also, the deep personal loss, like the death of a child, may open the door to a sense of sort of universal grief. I know that Nasser of Egypt, a long time ago, in deadly conflict in the Middle East with Israel, and then there was an opening for a period of time when Nasser's son was killed in the war with Israel. And the personal grief of that broke him open to understanding the grief that both sides were going through, and to reach out in a gesture to work with the Middle Eastern issues. And finally, George Floyd opened the door recently to huge outrage and grief all over the globe. It wasn't just in the United States. And it wasn't just people of color. Whites were marching in the streets. George Floyd opened that door, and wham, the time spirit of racism, systemic racism, the need for change came roaring through and infected all of us. So they're not always bad necessarily. They are strong forces that change the world.
And it does seem, when you liken them to triggered selves, they are sort of stuck in time. And when things happen again that awaken them up, it feels like you're taken back to the history that we shouldn't forget, perhaps.
Yes, that can be quite painful sometimes. I've a personal example for me is sometimes when I've been doing work around diversity and inclusion, there are times when a time spirit will come in, and I'm a white woman with white privilege and blind spots because of that privilege. And there will be a moment when, you know, it'll suddenly feel in the room that we have gone from being individuals trying to work on an issue to being blacks and whites. And I feel personally that I'm not being seen anymore as Faith. I'm being seen as a white woman. And that's right and true and appropriate. I am a white woman. It is the sort of intersectionality of things. I am Faith and I am a white woman. And the lens may change for people if you're dealing with painful time spirits, and it will suddenly feel like you're not seen for who you are. You are seen as a representation of something. And of course, that's how a lot of Black people feel, is that they're not seen as individuals, they're seen as a representation of something. So it's very painful when that happens, and it's just true that we do shift focus like that.
So how can we stop those representations from taking over?
Well, I think there's a couple of ways. Like just about everything in when you're dealing with systemic work, you need to become aware that it's happening. If you don't know what's happening, it feels like this overwhelming thing sort of sweeps everybody along and you feel out of control and like you don't know what's going on. But if you can go, boom, oh, that's a time spirit, then you also can know, if we talk about homophobia, if we talk about Me Too issues, time spirits will come in. So get help from the people that you are going to process these issues with, to hold awareness for and with you. Call it out if you see it. It's fine to say, there is a time spirit happening right now, and I want us all to be aware that that's happening and to manage ourselves and to honor what is happening in the room right now. So awareness and education to people so they know, oh, you know, people are usually really relieved they get time spirits. So it's all our job to be aware and to hold co-responsibility for what happens in the room. Another thing is time spirits need to be honored. As you mentioned earlier, Katie, they are carrying some story, some history for all of us. And those stories need to be told. So if a time spirit comes in the room, I'm going to put down my agenda for the team. You know, forget it. There's a time spirit here. The person who's carrying that time spirit needs to say the story, needs to express the time spirit. And the rest of us need to hold the container. So I will ask people to help hold the room and give this time spirit space to speak and to hold the container. Let that time spirit, let that person speak their grief, their pain, their whatever. And others may need to as well. You need to know that if you've got a time spirit, you can kiss the timeline goodbye in terms of time. You must hang there with it until it's worked through, you know, and settled down. And if the story is told, while I'm working with a single person who may be carrying that time spirit, I'm looking for signals for when maybe they're ready to move on. That signal could be they look up and they're aware of where they are more clearly. Or they take a deep sigh and their body relaxes, or watch for signals to check in and say, how are you doing right now? I know you've been carrying this for all of us. Thank you for carrying this. Honor them for carrying it, and look for, is it okay if we now open out now to the large group and discuss what just happened and its impact on us? So get their permission and get them off the hot seat. If they're beginning to come back to themselves, I will move them to the side, held and cared for and honored. But they've been on the hot seat. Get them out of the hot seat and go back to the large group at that point. to talk about the impact of the time spirit. I will usually let people know that they've probably been strongly impacted. We need to hold our awareness, hold the container, and honor the time spirit. All of those things are very important.
Well, just on that, to clarify, so the person perhaps that's carrying the time spirit, they're not talking on behalf of the time spirit. They're talking about the impact of the time spirit on them.
Yes, yes. Sometimes they're talking about they are in touch with the deaths. I have done time spirit work with a group of the children of Holocaust survivors. And at the time spirit of all those 7 million Jews who died came into the room. They, you know, some of us are more open to a particular time spirit because we have an affinity for the issue.
And then what were the other ways you were going to suggest that we can work with time spirits?
So we talked about respecting them. There's a story that's demanding to be told, an historic story. And you have to watch out. It is never a good idea to try to argue with the time spirit or get defensive about it. This isn't personal. So give the time spirit space. I became aware of this. I don't think I personally understood white privilege until the Me Too movement came along. And of course, I'm a woman. And like just about every woman I know, I could tell my stories. Nothing horrendous, but constant day in, day out, small, irritating sexism that I've experienced. It's so often for most women that we take it for granted, you know, that we need to be mature. This is how the world is. You know, don't let it get to you. But occasionally I would run up against men who sort of just didn't get it. Of course they couldn't get it. They weren't women. Of course they can't understand the Black experience. I'm white. I have white privilege. Men have male privilege. So don't fight. If somebody is carrying a time spirit, it's not time to hear about your pain. This is not a time to hear a lot about white pain. When a woman is talking about what she's experienced at the hands of racism, is not the time for men to talk about, yes, but what about this? What about, don't. Just don't do it. Respect their experience. So you honor that time spirit. Doesn't mean it's the truth. It's an experience they're having that many other people have as well. So don't argue with the time spirit.
Yeah. And I guess then that really comes back to the idea of allowing people to talk from my experience, I feel, as opposed to that dialogue that so often plays out when things get heated.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, basically give the people who have suffered the injury the chance to speak their story again of that. And watch for signals again of escalation or de-escalation for the whole group. There's often a turning where you've processed something for a long time and you can feel the fatigue in the room. And it's like, just name it. This has worn us out. Are we ready just to take a break and, you know, maybe get back into our own selves? All this takes time. If you get a time spirit, you have to take the time to work it through.
That makes sense, I guess, because it transcends our lives.
Well said. Yes, it does. And, you know, by the way, I just want to say time spirits aren't always negative, scary things. They are often things we can tap into for powerful social action. Well, I think an example of that is the effort that has come about because of the Black Lives Matter, you know, the movement out of the agony of the deaths, which is still an agony, but to an attempt to try to move society as a result of that. There are also smaller examples. For example, I did my internship at Perry Point VA Hospital, and at one point in my rotation, I was working with Vietnam vets. And at the time, Vietnam was still a time spirit in the country. And so when we were working with these vets, they had to tell their stories over and over again about what had happened to them, the trauma that had happened to them. And after a certain amount of processing, the graduation was to go to the big Vietnam Veterans Monument in D.C. This was in Perry Point, was in Maryland. And the big Vietnam memorial was in D.C. And for many of these men, they couldn't go there. Their friends' names were on that wall. they couldn't go. But one of the signs of graduating from, or not graduating, you don't graduate, it's the wrong word, of sort of processed and incorporated part of the trauma was when you can go to the wall and put your finger on the hands of the people that you knew who died and be with that and honor that and speak for that. So that's an example of using a time spirit as a way of honoring something that has happened to you personally. I forgot that. This is an important thing. Time spirits do very well with ritual. Because it's a big societal issue, ritual is an amazing way to work with it. So going to the Vietnam Wall was a ritual. And rituals bring together spirit and consensus reality. So any honoring ritual helps to put time spirits to bed. That could include countrywide apologies. I did a certification residential in China, and I did it with Yuri, who is Japanese. And of course, there is a lot of painful time spirit between the Japanese and the Chinese. And we had a really remarkable residential in China. And at some point, Yuri was struck with the time spirit, and she actually burst into tears and put out her arms, and she tried to speak in English, but she would, you know, which was the language we were doing the residential in. But we encouraged her to speak it in Japanese because it was clear this was a Japanese time spirit, and she wept and held out her arms, and first in Japanese, and then we translated it into English so that Chinese could hear. She begged for forgiveness for the different things. She listed some of the things that Japan had done to China and wept in her grief and made a formal apology for herself and on the part of the Japanese for what had happened, you know, in the rape of Shanghai and, you know, many other events. And the impact was stunning. You know, everybody was crying. Just that was a ritual of Yuri representing Japan and China in that moment. So that kind of powerful ritual can help lay a time spirit to rest. And I have done the same kind of asking for forgiveness in a more ritual way in Japan. I was there during one of the anniversaries of Hiroshima. And I was struck by that overwhelming grief and need to say, I am so sorry. This is not about who did what to whom. It is about the pain and the deaths of those people who suffered. So ritual is a powerful way of helping time spirits to be appeased.
So in many ways, we're looking to include and transcend time spirits, because we can try and spend our lives running away from them, but they're going to be impacting us whether we recognize them or not.
Yes. In a way, it's part of our duty, of our world work in the world, to help carry them, to help express them, to help work them through, to use ritual, to heal. Just don't think, you know, I'm not naive enough to think, you know, that I can solve all the griefs, but I can make my part. I can do my part. To help appease these time spirits and heal. And it may take generations for some things.
And I guess if we don't acknowledge a time spirit's in the room, then we're not working with the whole system.
Correct.
We're not listening to a powerful voice in that system.
Correct. So we need to be able to switch focal points to an individual who's having an experience to an individual who is a gateway for a time spirit. So through our pouring the societal issue to people who may be in large groups all carrying the time spirit or not, or, you know, we need to be shifting viewpoint. Are we working societally? Are we working on the personal? How does this impact this particular group? So it's a huge and stretching experience for us to work with these time spirits.
Yeah, gosh. And in terms of, as a coach, when they show up unexpectedly, as I'm sure they always do, they don't
Yes.
tend to follow our plans. What would you suggest to a coach experiencing this for the first time?
You need to know about them. You need to name them. So first, you have to be aware. Can you feel the intensity in the room? You will feel it. You will feel a time spirit. Mm-hmm. Once you feel it, you want to identify it so those that are there can see it. It's like, I just want to give you, we're going to pause for a moment. Let's just say Sally is having a time spirit example of she's carrying right now the experience of an entire group of whomever. We want to honor that experience, but please know this isn't just Sally anymore. This is Sally carrying something for all of us. So can we please hold the container together, maybe form a gentle circle to support Sally as she expresses something? So name it, educate it, honor it. If a ritual is possible, let a ritual happen and take whatever time is needed. The worst thing to do, if you want to get guaranteed trauma, is to have a time spirit appear and then everybody tries to leave. That person who has been carrying it is traumatized because they feel like, you know, often you feel like, what the hell just happened to me? So they're embarrassed afterwards if they aren't held. The group is usually, holy shit, you know, what's going on? We have to stay and not run away and honor what is happening and know we can handle it. We can handle it. We can hold it together as long as it's not the coach, just the coach holding it together. We can hold this historic experience and help to ventilate it.
I mean, that feels better when you say we'll hold it together because, yeah, as a coach, I don't know if I can and maybe I shouldn't hold all of that by myself. But if you bring the group into the equation, then it's not just you anymore.
Absolutely. Especially if you are the opposite side of a minority. So if you're a male facilitator, and suddenly women are weeping and upset about me too, you need to get, please help me to hold this. I cannot understand all of your experience because I'm a man. I cannot understand all of your experience because I'm white, but I want to hold together. Let's all hold this experience and honor it. So don't try to do it alone. You don't have to, and everybody needs to be responsible.
Wow. That was really beautifully put.
Whew, that was intense just talking about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of blown away and I'm aware of, you know, how much we probably do run away from the more of these things and that's not helping necessarily.
Yes.
The system.
Yes. And I have to admit, full disclosure, I have run away and gathered myself and gone back.
Okay.
It's possible to go back, you know, to go, wow, let's take a break and then talk with my co-lead about what's happening. What do we need to do? Where are we with time? What do we need to do? Do we need to ask for more time? You know, get your structure together, go back in and say, we're going in with this. Oh, and it's also okay to say, there is a time spirit here. We are up against a hard stop. We need your help to know what to do. We do not want to avoid this issue. Can we set another time to look at the topic and set it up when it's a better time? But you have to catch it early before everybody is emotionally charged.
Yeah. So you really have to stay in the lion's roar, as we call it.
Yes. Yes. Everything has a wisdom aspect. And yeah, you get help to work with it. And know that I've screwed up time spirits a dozen times. So it's part of the process.
Well, thank you so much, Faith. This was really eye-opening. And I'm definitely going to try and stay the next time a time spirit shows up.
And get help.
Yes, and get help. Thank you, Faith.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks to Faith Fuller for that fascinating episode on time spirits. Working with time spirits is world work, in the sense that we're not only working on ourselves, but we're working on the ghosts of the culture. Here is a recap about how to work with time spirits. Number one, respect them. There is a story here which is demanding to be told. Number two, don't argue with them. It's not advised to argue with the time spirit or get defensive about it. It's not personal, it's ancient. Number three, create awareness and education. What is needed to work with it is awareness. Educate people about time spirits and point them out when you see them. And finally, number four, give the time spirit time. Allow space for expression because you have to have time to work it through. For more information about Faith's work, do check out crrglobal.com.
From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters.